A sermon on the reading out of Sirach, chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. The beginning of human pride is to forsake the Lord. The heart has withdrawn from its maker. For the beginning of pride is sin, and the one who clings to it pours out abominations. Therefore the Lord brings upon them unheard of calamities and destroys them completely. The Lord overthrows the thrones of rulers and enthrones the lowly in their place. The Lord plucks up the roots of the nations and plants the humble in their place. The Lord lays waste the lands of the nations and destroys them to the foundations of the earth. He removes some of them and destroys them and erases the memory of them from the earth. Pride was not created for human beings, or violent anger for those born of women. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. May God, the holy, eternal majesty, Jesus, the holy incarnate word, and the holy abiding spirit be with you in a loving way, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. This morning I'm going to share a bit about the obscure book of Sirach and about the sin of pride, and about the redemptive teaching and calling of Jesus for us to serve each other in humble hospitality. But first, let's get to Sirach. Be honest. How many of you would know even where to find Sirach if given a Bible? I think so. I think there's room for growth and learning today then, and my teacher tail is already wagging because of it. The book of Sirach is part of what is called the Apocrypha, the hidden books. We also sometimes call this the deuterocanonical section or the intertestamental section. More than likely, if you have come across Sirach, you would have been reading a large annotated study Bible or a Catholic Bible or a Greek Orthodox Bible. You see, we often forget that there are different collections of Holy Scripture out there in this big wide world. These Apocrypha books are not part of our Protestant canon, so it isn't a surprise that you might have gone, when you heard Sirach being read today. Other books that are included in this section include Tobit and Judith, Wisdom and Baruch, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Maccabees, the Prayer of Manassas, Enoch, Jubilees, Jasher, Psalm 151, and all of the apocryphal additions to Daniel and Esther, the prayer of Azariah and Susanna, and my favorite one because it sounds so Game of Thrones-ish, Bel and the Dragon. All of the books I just listed are missing out of our Lutheran canon as well. Well, kind of. Good old Martin Luther was not opposed to the books. He just moved them out of the flow of this other fuller canon into their own section, smack dab in the middle of the Old and New Testament. Because, see, he would have studied the Septuagint and the Vulgate during his time in the monastery. And his choice to move them might have had an unintended consequence of making them a lot easier to remove completely later. And in fact, that was the action that did take place in the 1800s and 1900s amongst many Protestant denominations. That Luther is always causing trouble, sometimes on purpose, of course, wink, wink. Martin Luther has a quote about this collection of books that went something like this. He said, "These books are not held equal to the scriptures, but are useful and good to read." There's quite a few assumptions in that, Martin, but we know you're a man of your times. But alas, in the modern world, we have easy access to all sorts of Bible translations and different takes on what is in or out. Another gift of the Reformation was, in fact, this easy availability of Scripture to everyone and in your own language. Thanks be to God for the printing press. All of this is to say that it is transformative to read the full canon, and maybe even a little around the edges of the canon too, when you're finding you need a little company in your faith journey. And the passage out of Sirach speaks deeply into the themes we see in our own canon. And some of us might be introduced to it for the first time here today. Which quickly brings me to the topic of pride. Not the lion one or the rainbow one or the I'm proud because I graduated magna cum laude. No, Sirach and Jesus are talking about sinful pride, the kind we all fall into, some of us more or less so, but none of us escape because we are human after all. They're speaking into the pride that manifests itself as self-reliance and self-centeredness and self-condemnation. The pride that is an inordinately high opinion of one's own dignity or importance or merit or superiority. Whether it's a craving for compliments or fearing your own image or entertaining an overcritical view of ourselves, pride can be both glaringly obvious and deceptively sneaky. And signs of sinful pride include fear and entitlement and ingratitude and people-pleasing and prayerlessness and hypocrisy and rebellion and superficiality and defensiveness, a desperation for attention, a neglecting of others, of fault-finding, and a harshness of spirit. I could go on and on, but I'm feeling a bit convicted right now. I find myself in some of those things that I just listed. How about you? And our national culture, it even seems to be dripping with sinful pride as well. But who can blame a system looking just like its components? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe that people are reflecting the nature of the system. In either case, sinful pride is at the root of bullying. And if you look close enough, it's in fact at the root of every human conflict, no matter the scale. From the lunchroom bullies to the highest offices of power and influence, pride brings us into our shadow selves, and we, collective and individually, lose our way. And in this excessive preoccupation with self and status and competition, we find ourselves turned away from God and from God's sovereign role in the world and in our hearts. You see, sinful pride attempts to be God, tempts us to see ourselves as God, or at least on the same platform. And we act this out when we compete and compare versus love and serve our neighbor. We act this out when we forget that God created us equally and with a diverse set of gifts and purposes and views and passions. We withdraw our heart from its maker, to quote Sirach. You see, sinful pride seeks to convince us that the glory of our created universe is otherwise, and it steals our peace and our freedom to receive the gifts from God and in turn share them with each other, no matter who that other happens to be. Look at the examples we have in Scripture itself. Let's be very Lutheran right now and utilize Scripture to interpret Scripture. Think through some of the characters we come across throughout the Old and New Testament, characters like Adam and Eve. What was their sin? Pride. What about Pharaoh? Pride. How about Aaron and Miriam, the siblings of Moses? Pride. What about King David and Uzziah and Hezekiah? Pride. How about Nebuchadnezzar? Pride. What about Herod? Lots of pride. And what about Saul before he was Paul? Pride again. Are you picking up on this yet? Is it becoming clearer? Can you see pride in your own life maybe now too? A little clearer. I can see it in my life. And it feels a bit wiggly and uneasy, doesn't it? I feel a bit convicted when I start to take stock of my own downfalls and shadow spaces and sin, that is never the last word. Thanks be to God. You see, we have good news here today too, and some of you were looking a bit worried that this was all going to be fire and brimstone. Some of you were starting to look like you needed a little reminder of grace and our brother Jesus. We need to be reminded that in the deepest depths of pride, we have something that helps dig us out, and that shovel is faith. Living into your faith, discovering new nooks and crannies of the divine mystery of the universe in your life, working together with others to learn more about love and friendship and connection, all of those things will kill pride, or at least begin to. You see, faith has this amazing functionality that helps you look away from self, away from self-reliance and self-centeredness and the selfie phenomenon that has swept us up in this Instagram-filtered life we live. We hear about this salvation working in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Be doers of the word. Because faith isn't about resting in what you believe. It is about being challenged and receiving the gift of deeper knowing in return. To be a doer of the word is to act fully on what we have been asked by Jesus to consider, what has been modeled by him and taught by him over and over and over again. Because even here in the gospel passage for today, Jesus is asking us to say, oh, really? Could it be different? Is the way of the world and how we are in it reflective of God's love and grace? Or is it simply our prideful interpretation of it? And even the author of Hebrews from our reading today is stating it for us again this morning, to show hospitality to strangers, to honor a loving relationship, to not lust over money or status or possessions, to give freely of what you have, to trust that God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who is a helper and guide, to share and do good work. Those last two seem a bit like kindergarten, don't they, right? To share and to do good work. I think sometimes we make things too complicated because we think in complexity we are showing ourselves to be so capable and so smart, so with it. Pride again. Pride is sinful when it attempts to place us outside of God's creation, or outside of our holy responsibility to each other and to that same creation. And if we count ourselves as Christians, especially as Lutheran Christians, we are also counted as people of the cross. And that, my brothers and sisters, means that we exchange pride for weakness, vulnerability, and sacrifice. And if we are a people of the cross, then we are also a people of the resurrection. And in that space, we exchange death and darkness for love, hope, connection, and yes, faith. Paul stated it well concerning this type of faith in his letter to the people of Philippi, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. That's a call to do some heavy lifting on the studious side, which is another charming Lutheran characteristic. So hidden or not, the book of Sirach gives us many reasons to deeply study the Bible and religion and faith. Because listening to the word made flesh in Jesus is a pathway for each of us out of some prideful tendencies. As we learn and focus and meditate and open ourselves up to new understandings, more and more is revealed to us, and we grow stronger in faith, not weaker. We have to get knocked off balance in order to find our true center. Because Jesus Christ is the firm foundation, the unmoving truth, the steadfast love of God come near. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And pride only seeks to distance us from this divine mystery. It seeks to unbalance times and to unbalance people. And it craves comparison, and it always acts to crush inward. That is not the message from Christ. Have that simple yet profound truth be your meditation this week. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because pride was never created for human beings. But love and grace and joy and peace sure were. Open yourself up. Have a little pride in your own faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.